Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Meet the Movie Press. Roundtable movie news and commentary from the industry's premier film journalists.
Happy Friday, everyone. This is Meet the Movie Press on the Popcorn Talk Network. I am Mark Riley, otherwise known as Riley, editor-in-chief of schmoesno.com. And how are you, sir?
I'm great. Jeff Snyder, film reporter for therap.com, otherwise known as, I don't know, I don't think I have a cool
The N. Snyder
nickname. Yeah, that's true.
I said that randomly because everybody calls me Riley, and I just, I like it because I'm following tradition. My grandfather and my father were all called Riley or Riles.
Amazing so how that works.
It's really
good morning, Schmoville.
Good morning out there, guys. Thanks as always for joining us here on the Popcorn Talk Network. Meet the Movie Press. You can find us on Facebook, Meet the Movie Press, on the Popcorn Talk Network, and of course on YouTube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. We are live, and I see all of your comments. Look at this. You guys are awesome. And remember to, as always, tell your friends about this wonderful show.
Spread the word. Write MTMP on, like, bathroom stalls.
Exactly.
Make people investigate it.
Do that. MTMP. TGIF MTMP.
A guerrilla campaign.
Yes. And as always, iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and comment. Guys, that keeps the lights on, and we just keep rising. We love it, and thank you, as always, for tuning in. That's my spiel. I'm kicking it over to my illustrious co-host, Jeff Snyder. You have something to say.
First we're gonna press send on a little story.
I like this.
And this is, you know, the moral of this story is to trust your sources, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We got a tip the other day about this story.
Yeah.
And investigated it, and, you know, it seemed like it had checked out.
Okay.
And I was more than willing to hold, but couldn't really get the time of the day from the publicist. And so,
interesting.
This is something I wanted to discuss. But first, let me hit send here and tweet the news.
I like this. Everybody out there, get
there
ready.
There we go. The button has been hit at 9:08. And in just a second, I'll tweet it out.
Okay.
But yeah, well, we're not live. We're like a minute behind, right?
We're like a minute behind. I don't know. On the
All right,
chat rooms.
Great. Well, then here's the story.
Yeah.
It seems like Agent Maria Hill,
yes,
from the Avengers, Kobe Smulders,
yes,
has landed the female lead in Jack Reacher 2, opposite Tom Cruise.
Wow. That's pretty cool. And good for her. I like to see her get, I mean, she's great in the Avengers and obviously in the Marvel U. And I'm happy to hear she's going to be rocking alongside Tom Cruise. Yes?
Yeah. I think that's what I hear. We hear that she's in early talks. Sorry, I had to send
the... I know. I've done that too. I start looking and I'm like, oh.
I had to make sure that the email that I sent to the studio was out.
Yeah, no, that's great. So when you say that...
But she's really come up, you know, as an actress since How I Met Your Mother, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, she obviously did the Avengers movies, but then mm-hmm. there's been smaller films like Unexpected and Results.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually really like Results. I haven't seen Unexpected yet.
Yeah.
But these like kind of smart Sundance indies that kind of show her range and versatility as an actress. And I think she's also got, she can play tough,
yeah,
you know, as she does as a member of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so she kind of fits right in. And Tom Cruise, at least in the Mission Impossible franchise, has a habit of changing up his female leads.
Yeah, he really does.
I don't think, you know, it was what? Tandy Newton.
Uh-huh.
Who was three? Michelle Monaghan.
Oh, are you talking about Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
And
the last one was Rebecca Ferguson, who was really good.
Rebecca Ferguson,
but who am I missing?
She was great.
Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell, thank
boom.
You. I was like, because she, spoiler alert, on a 10-year-old movie, dies at the beginning.
He's got like a type, almost.
And
I don't know. And I think Kobe Smulders fits that type, and I don't think, or at least I'm not sure that Rosamund Pike is going to be back for Jack Reacher. So, looks like Kobe Smulders.
All right, Kobe. Hey.
Jack Reacher 2.
Congratulations. Everybody. Everybody. Yeah.
There's only
hey,
a few people
you all
to
worked
congratulate.
Really hard for Kobe's part. No, congratulations to her. And if you guys want it, I thought we should get more active on Twitter with getting people to like tweet out stuff we talk about, maybe tweet.
Yeah, that
some
would be fun.
People.
And one of the things that I wanted to talk about in relation to this scoop that,
this
you know,
is going to be interesting because I saw some doings yesterday on the tweet machine.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of disappointed because I couldn't get the time of day in this from this publicist. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm pretty fair with people.
Yeah.
And so when I called yesterday, I was told there's nothing to talk about. And with all due respect to the publicist listening out there, you know, I decide whether it's something to talk about or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're a legit
like,
train.
If I feel like I have a story, then at least engage me and try to talk me out of it or lie or do something. But to just ignore me, like, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm at a legit publication. Like, it is your job to engage with the press. You're on a monthly retainer from your client.
There you go.
You know, like, it just kind of blew my mind. And I don't know why. You know, you just give me a no comment or something. But the whole, you know, I had the same problem. You know, I've talked about the Michael B. Jordan situation before, I think, on this show.
Yep.
That was like, they come back and they tell you there's no story here. And as journalists, and I hope that people, you know, the aspiring film reporters who are listening to this, don't take that for an answer. Okay, there's no story here, or there's nothing to write about or talk about. Like, you need to hold these people accountable. That's what journalism is.
Yeah, and that sounds like a smokescreen to me. I mean, right? Like, no comment means, oh,
sure.
Well,
and it's like, you know, this particular publicist today or yesterday, you know, there's a track record sort of going back there.
Okay.
With certain clients and that there's nothing to talk about. I seem to recall having exclusives on Paul Rudd playing Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Which was denied up and down for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
James Corden. That may have been even my biggest scoop of my career. James Corden taking over the Late Late Show on CBS.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That was another one where it was like, good. There's nothing to see here. Move it along. And like, again, the lesson here, guys, is to trust your sources. Still go to, you know, give the other side a chance to respond. That was my duty, and I feel like I did it yesterday.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they're not going to play ball, don't be afraid to, you know, throw an elbow from time to time.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'll consider this.
I like this because I don't think we do enough of, or I would say I want to do more of, like, the ins and outs of this profession. And especially I have a lot of admiration for you, my friend, for what you do, because I don't really do. I'm kind of a fan and a blogger on one side of the coin. You're on this other. And, you know, we are setting your watch and news to the stories you break.
We all.
So it kind of goes all over the internet if you break something, or Justin over at Variety, Boris over at Hollywood Reporter.
Sure. And we're all relying on these studios to, you know, keep us in the ballgame with access or whatever it may be.
Absolutely.
So it is kind of, we're all part of the same machine. And I don't care if I'm at the bottom of the machine. I'm the most insignificant part. If there's a part broken or missing, the machine's not going to work.
Right.
Okay? And, like, so to, yeah, it was definitely frustrating yesterday. But I feel like every journalist sort of runs into that.
Yeah.
And things probably are sensitive. I don't know that Kobe Smulders has an official offer yet.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure she'll be there in the fall with Ed Zwick directing.
Can we just talk about Ed Zwick for a second? That's awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah, that should be interesting. Him and Tom Cruise again. And I saw, you know, Pawn Sacrifice recently, which was good. Not great, but good. And it was different. A different, you know, it was like, I don't know if it was like his first indie in a while.
Yeah, it seems like it. He's usually doing bigger studio pictures like Jack Reacher 2. But I to go back to it, so you were told yesterday to hold on the story.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
And I was more than willing to hold. That's the thing.
Oh, that's where I heard. Sorry. I was
it's like,
you
listen, hop on
Twitter.
The phone. Tell me it's early. Tell me you'll protect me if anybody else calls on it, and I'll sit tight.
Okay.
And so I've done this. I mean, the Spotlight movie. You know, I sat on Tom McCarthy directing that thing for a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I can keep a secret, and I feel like. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so I was not even asked to hold. It was just like, we're going to blow you off. Like,
and so you just broke it.
Yeah. So it's out there.
So it's out there. So it's interesting, guys.
It's getting retweeted.
Yep. If you're listening live right now, he just broke some news. He didn't get any love from the publicist. Par for the course. No, more.
No, usually people will at least engage.
There you go. Okay.
Or, you know, answer an email. I mean, just if you can't take 2 minutes out of your day, and it's like, what else did she do for that client yesterday?
Right.
You know, is the New York, like, I get it if the New York Times is calling.
Okay.
But I don't think the New York Times is calling about Kobe Smulders. I think this was probably the only press call yesterday.
Right.
And you're, you know, she presumably got paid.
Yeah.
I just don't like it too. Like, when you, as a journalist, you're trained, even though you're supposed to deal with the agents and the managers because they're the ones who actually know things, you're trained, at least at the trades, to, like, go through the proper channels and ask a publicist. And when the publicist is then just, like, throwing up their hands and being like, well, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's like, this is your responsibility.
This is
sorry.
I like it, dude. I mean, I learn a lot from you and from this because, you know, I just don't understand. You talk about the bigger picture, the machine, and that we're all a part of it. You know, when you break something, I mean, I got to give credit to you and to a lot of the trades. If you break something like this or like some of the bigger movies or some of the – I mean, this is a huge movie. This is an event movie because it's Tom Cruise. But when you do that and break something, the conversation starts. Then people cover your story. And then people are talking about it on Twitter.
That's the thing. When an actress says a movie – it all starts with the trades.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first
That's my point, yes.
link in the train or whatever. Like,
absolutely.
You know, for the next year and a half, she's going to be talking about it in interviews. She's going to be, you know, she's going to be lining up magazine covers a year and a half from now.
Right.
Like, whatever it is. So
it's
to not respect that first link in the chain, it blows my mind.
I would argue, too, that Colby needs to talk to her publicist and go, why the hell aren't you talking and engaging with this person?
Like,
I want to be in the conversation.
What if this, and this is obviously, you know, you feel sick to your stomach as a film reporter if this does happen.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
What if this affected that deal?
Right.
You know, and something happened and it fell through or they got mad at her team. I don't know.
Right.
And it's all because you didn't take a call.
That's a damn good point.
Like, I'm
and
sorry.
That's their job. That is their
exactly.
job. So,
and I know everyone's got a lot of calls to make in return.
Mm-hmm.
What frustrated me yesterday was like I called and it was like, oh, you know, she'll call you back. Hey, she's not calling back. Like,
yeah,
leave me alone.
So, how many calls on average did you?
It was like two calls. You know, waiting
enough to be like
two calls and an email.
Yeah, I'm getting blown off. Okay. Well, guess what?
We'll move it along.
Yeah, it's out there now, folks. So, congratulations, Colby. For taking Jack Reacher 2, I'm going to assume it's a done deal because Jeff is very reliable.
I think it's pretty early. I don't think it's a done deal at all, but yeah. I think it's going to work out. I think you can take it to the bank.
Jeremy Flores says, Jeff rants go hard in the paint. That's right.
That is true.
I'm a
real,
very true.
Real scrapper.
I like it.
You going to D23 this weekend?
I am not.
Oh, okay. Have you ever been?
No, I haven't.
I don't know what to expect. I'm going
You're
tomorrow.
Going. Well, I've heard... Captain America trailer, Civil War trailer, or footage. No new Star Wars stuff because EW pretty much took care of that for the next month.
What was that about?
That was crazy. There was like...
I hate how EW is like this like kind of like megaphone for the studios.
Yeah, they
I
really...
Get it, but...
I guess if we can talk about that because you all in the live chat here, yes, the pictures are amazing. Look, Star Wars guy. I did wear my Star Wars shirt. Wow, it kind of blew the internet open.
It's too hot in here.
It's
hot in this studio, 97 right?
97 million degrees in beautiful Los Angeles right now. We are getting a heat wave. That's going to be so exciting.
Gotta love August.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I will be down at the Anaheim Convention Center at D23 tomorrow. I felt like, you know, there is probably going to be some news to come out of there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Who
I'm
knows
sure
about
be,
what?
Yeah, I'm sure the big ones that everybody's looking at is Civil War and Star Wars. Now... Somebody hit me up on the tweet machine asking about would they announce Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel maybe at this. I don't know.
I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, I heard, like I said, a couple of weeks ago
with
El Miembe, I was speculating that I heard from somebody who heard from somebody, that Emily Blunt done deal, she's Captain Marvel. You know, they haven't done a director yet. There's no director in place yet. So I don't know. But they did announce Chadwick Boseman before... a director for Black Panther, so you never know.
I would love to see an Emily Blunt as Captain Marvel and then, like, you know, someone like F. Gary Gray directing Black Panther.
That'd be great.
That would be sick.
F. Gary Gray, that's interesting, because Straight Outta Compton opens today.
Dude, Compton is so good.
Yeah, I'm seeing it tonight.
It honestly may be the best movie I've seen all year.
That's what I'm hearing.
But, like, I get the criticisms, like... Devin Faraci and Amy Nicholson both wrote pretty good reviews of Compton. They were fairly mixed. Devin felt like the second half of the film gets bogged down in like contracts and money and that stuff.
Okay.
So Amy sort of wrote something similar, like it was all about the Benjamins kind of thing.
Okay.
But man, I thought that the performances that F. Gary Gray gets out of these guys, like Ice Cube's son, who had never acted before,
right.
Jason Mitchell as Eazy-E was incredible.
Yeah, I'm hearing he steals a movie.
There's an urgency to this film. Like, I think Devin wanted more focus on like the police aspect of it, but you have to understand this film was written 4 years ago before Ferguson and a lot of these events.
Right.
The guy who plays Suge Knight's great.
Okay.
And it just feels like very alive and full of energy.
I can't wait to see it.
I really dug it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see
it. It was cool. Great soundtrack. Giamatti's really good as Jerry Heller.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's so funny. Ever since that first trailer dropped, this became one of my most anticipated for the summer, even. Because, I would say it's a little mixed of the summer blockbusters, the summer movies. Nobody's really talking much about, like, that movie, you know, that it seems like there's always one movie during the summer that kind of monopolizes
That's
the
right.
conversation.
It was so Straight Outta Compton was the Rap's number one under the radar movie of 2014.
Yeah.
I felt like in every 2014 preview where, you know, you read about Hunger Games and Bond and Star Wars, no one was talking about Compton. And I'd heard good things, even though, like, a few months ago, I started to hear things like maybe in April that, like, they needed, like, reshoots or I don't know. But whatever happened, it doesn't matter. It came out fantastic. And it's yet another win for Universal, who's having an incredible summer.
They're having a great
summer. It's a great, like, mid-August date. Like, I think it's going to play well the rest of the month. I don't know, you know, if it'll play internationally. African-American themed films usually don't.
Right. And internationally.
But I think here in this country, like, this is the movie America needs right now.
Yeah. It looks great. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see the shit out of it. And, so with that being said, why don't we go on to some of the big news stories that are out there?
Yes. Okay.
Kind of roping around to Star Wars again. That from a movie press standpoint, there were stories that were happening every day, and that there were these huge articles from Entertainment Weekly. I know it's hot. These huge stories from Entertainment Weekly that had, like, different stories that you could cover, like how they talked about Han Solo, young Han Solo movie, how Harrison Ford broke his leg, how he was good to be back as Han Solo, the pictures, Kylo Ren, the bad guy.
It's not his real name.
It's not his real name. For me, that's the biggest, because that's story. And he's part of the Knights of Ren.
His real name's John Harrison, right?
John Guys, do you get it?
That's a joke.
That's a joke. That's Star Wars.
Don't
Star
write
Trek.
That.
That's Star Trek joke. Because, yes, that's what J.J. does. It was John Harrison. I would say the funniest thing ever was when I was at CinemaCon, and they showed a full-on scene from Star Trek Into Darkness, and they were still calling him John Harrison. And when the movie opens, he was Khan. It was so funny. They actually dubbed in that or whatever they did for the press. So, but anyways, back to that. Yeah. What do you think of the Star Wars news? I mean, you're not real Star Wars guy.
I didn't pay attention to it. I don't really care. I read a little bit of it, like, especially where Lawrence Kasdan, like, goes back to the studio and he's like, you know what? I think I left John to do this with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think I really need my son for this assignment.
I know.
You know, whatever.
Lucky
I don't care.
Guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Great.
I now to go off
Han Solo, he's going to be 20 years old.
Yeah, I think we're good with the Star Wars stuff for Force Awakens. I'm going to see it. I think we don't need anything else. Let's move on. But I'm sure there are going to be people out there that leak photos, leak spoilers, leak casting. Well, maybe casting, but I'm talking Force Awakens and maybe some of the anthologies. It's okay. My opinion, let's stop. Let's move on. Let's talk about other movies. I can't wait to fucking see it. That's my thing. So,
yeah.
I think you're with
me. I think we get it. Yeah. Other interesting news this week. Tom Hardy signed on to 100 Bullets.
Yeah, we were talking
This was not really a comic that I was that familiar with, which goes to show you that, you know, I'm obviously not that big a comics guy. But after reading sort of what it's about, I kind of want to get into it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
I actually did some Amazon Priming.
Good.
So, he's playing who? Agent Graves?
Yeah, I can't recall the name.
Probably a guy who shows up in these strangers' lives and he gives them a gun with untraceable ammunition and sort of points them in the direction of getting revenge. That's a really cool idea to me. Obviously Tom Hardy was sort of looking to do another comic book movie since he was going to do Suicide Squad.
Right.
I don't know that he needs to do another one after this. This may be enough comic book movies.
I think this is great. I mean, cause it is 100 Bullets is like kind of a noir. It was like Vertigo, which is a DC Comics. I mean, that's the more edgy version of comics. And Tom Hardy is really great for this. Agent Graves, you were right. He's really, really great for this, and I'm excited because I like the darker comic book stories.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm very particular. I went to the comics store on Sunday and perused the graphic novels and whatnot, and I didn't really buy anything. It's really just because I need, like, a connoisseur. I need, like, a guru in my life telling me what to read, because I have very specific taste.
Right.
I love Nemesis, and I think that there was actually news on a tracking board about that moving from Fox to possibly Warner Brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Nemesis is great, and I read the Criminal series recently by Ed Brubaker. Those were amazing.
And are you a Crow guy comics or just the movie?
I read the Crow comic and everything, but no, that doesn't rank among my favorites, I would say.
This is a good one. I would recommend it if your style is darker. If you want to go mainstream, there are certain Batman comics that are great to read because they're dark, but that's Batman. But what else is out there? Squadron Supreme you might like.
Okay.
That's one that's like a spin on the Justice League. Just a little hint. Instead of like if a version of Superman landed in the backyard of a really nice family and they go, oh, we're going to adopt him. There's a knock at the door. The government's there going, no, you're not. And they take the baby and they raise him to become a weapon.
I never heard of something like that before.
That's awesome. Squadron Supreme right there. Go for it, guys.
Okay, well, I'd love to see Criminal get its due.
Criminal
is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But let's move it along from comics and into some beach movies.
Oh, yeah. Baywatch.
Zac Efron going to be joining The Rock in the Baywatch movie.
That's good. He's perfect for that.
It is perfect. Efron and The Rock. That's a great team.
Yeah, and Efron really...
Whether or not Seth Gordon's directing or not.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. I mean, it's some good talent, and I know they're mentioning 21 Jump Street kind of...
I've always liked the property and thought it was perfect for a send-up. When I was at summer camp, we did a Baywatch parody called Fat Watch, and it was just, fat, hairy... Jewish lifeguards,
perfect.
Running in slow motion with, like, their roles, like, all over the place. It's actually not bad. But clearly they went in the other direction here with the Baywatch movie.
Yeah, those are some not fat guys over there.
I'd always heard, it was going to be Bill Hader and The Rock.
Really?
Cool. Clearly they wanted another beefcake along. But I could see, I'm sure that there will be plenty of comic relief. And as Dwayne Johnson sort of said on Instagram or wherever it was, wait until you see the girls we get for this. If they don't get Kate Upton, I'm going to be very disappointed in Paramount.
Yes, and I'm assuming a cameo from Pamela.
Gotta have a cameo.
There should be a no-brainer.
And Hasselhoff. Yes.
Yeah. Those are the two big ones. And Nicole Eggert, of course.
I was like, I could throw out a whole bunch of the girls that I want.
It's like, I feel like we're Chandler
and
Joey.
Who's the kid? Was it Toby or Kobe? Is it Kobe? It was like...
Oh, yeah. Is it Cody?
Cody? Yeah, that may be it. I don't know.
I can't remember. I watched maybe one Baywatch episode of my life.
My dad loved Baywatch. I'd always come down to the den. It would be like, you'd hear that music, like the...
I just remember one episode, like Pamela Anderson was like... disengaging a bomb under the pier or something, and I'm like, yeah,
that is who you would call.
That's awesome. Yeah, you get in there, Pamela Anderson. I'm excited for it. Zac Efron, as we proved with Neighbors, I think he's
hilarious.
Talented.
I hear
hilarious.
Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates is going to be hilarious.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's an interesting. I like that concept, and sounds like a good romantic kind of fun comedy.
I'll be curious to see what the tone is. If it is like a sweet movie, or like I think it's going to be pretty raunchy.
Yeah, I'm thinking,
and it's going to be the girls
forgetting Sarah Marshall kind of vibe, where it's like some romance in there, but like
some heart,
some heart. That's
heart's
what I'm
the word.
Heart. Oh, we need a little more
people
heart in this
that,
world.
That.
Yes, it's very true. So Neighbors was great,
Our microphones are broken.
we didn't plan this today. Yes.
Zac Efron also has Dirty Grandpa or whatever the hell coming out with Robert De Niro.
Dirty Grandpa.
That'll probably be funny.
That's
good. Yeah, so he's coming back for Neighbors 2, and we reported this yesterday that Dave Franco is going to be joining him.
Exactly.
They're kind of, bringing the whole band back together.
Well, I think he need to, because he was great. That movie was freaking hilarious, and Franco was hilarious.
And I like the idea of a sorority now coming on the block, led by Chloe Moretz.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's where they're going. I was wondering how they're going to do it, So, good.
I'm just, we're all just hoping to see Scooney's cock return.
Yes. That was...
his choker.
That was a good one.
Other cool news, more Paramount stuff. Man, yeah. Paramount all over the news today.
Okay.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese joining forces for a sixth time.
God.
On Devil in the White City, the serial killer tale, which Paramount just won at auction because I think Warner Brothers let it go.
I don't know that, but I know it takes place during the World Fair. This serial killer
H.H. Holmes
builds a hotel or motel or something
right.
to coordinate with this and lures people in. I mean, I'm in.
Dude.
Like Scorsese and DiCaprio again.
Honestly, this is the role that I've been waiting for Leo to take on.
Yeah.
Since I started reading this shit, okay? When I'm the first time that I started paying attention to movie news was when I read on Corona Coming Attractions
that
Leonardo DiCaprio was going to do American Psycho. And I started reading the vivid descriptions of this book, and I got so excited for him to do it. And of course, you know, then
it
was Christian Bale, and I was like, okay, that's there you go. There's your first lesson in movie news, sort of back when I was 12 years old or 13 years old.
God, I love that movie.
And so
too.
I've been waiting for him to play a real sick, twisted serial killer for almost 20 fucking years.
Yeah, and the backdrop to this
is going
to
be really
so
cool.
Amazing. It's period piece. It's like old America. That's like you think when you think of a world fair, you know, you think of the like the brawny guys with the like the dumbbells and the guess your weight and the, all that. Put a serial killer in there? Yeah, I'm in. I mean, that's I'm a.
I kept thinking like a serial killer in the middle of Tomorrowland.
Yeah, it's kind of well, you know.
I don't know, but
well, I mean, do we have any doubt that this is going to be like
it'll
Oscar
be a must
caliber?
See? With Marty behind the camera,
yeah.
I love Shutter Island. I love what the two of them did with
I love
you know
Shutter
really
Island.
Dark material over
that
at Paramount.
That's underrated. I don't know why that didn't do like gangbusters.
You know, I read the book, and the book is brilliant.
Really?
And it's tough to pull off the ending because it's like you know he had to like explain all this shit to him. Like the ending was a little clunky for Shutter Island.
Yeah.
Except the very end, I loved where you're like not sure. You know,
right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I was sure.
That's but. A yeah. I was too. But I kind of knew it.
But some people weren't.
Some people weren't.
There was also news that Blake Lively. Speaking of beach movies like Baywatch.
Yes.
News that Blake Lively is going to star in Sony's movie In the Deep, which is like a gravity type movie where like she's just out in the water. She gets stranded on a buoy.
Oh yeah, and there's the
100 yards from shore or something, and there's a shark that's like preventing her from getting back to the beach.
That's
the shark just like fucks with her.
Yeah. Oh,
for
oh
90 minutes.
That's I'm a shark. Lover, like the movies, Shark Attacks, Shark Week, everything. I'm totally into it. So
yeah, it's been a long time since we've had a shark movie. And I think you know, as we saw with Jurassic World, studios are really into these kind of big creature movies.
Yeah, Meg getting pretty much announced.
What do you think? What is your take on Blake Lively?
I think this could be one of those movies that if she knocks it out of the park, I mean. I don't want to necessarily say Oscar, but like,
no,
I it depends on the tone. Like if she's like, if she plays this crazy, not crazy, but like does some superior acting, maybe.
Sure.
I just don't know what the tone is. I mean, I just think, I don't know.
I think it's a great, it's supposed to be a pretty good role for any young actress.
Yeah.
Since she's in every frame of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked her in The Town. I haven't seen her in that much else. I didn't see Adeline. I didn't see the Traveling Pants movies.
What was
and
the,
watch Gossip Girl.
What was the James Franco,
127 hours, right?
Hours.
And it has been compared to that.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with it. If there's like that kind of level of, Like you said, she's in every frame of the movie. She's going to have to, like, knock it out of the park if we're going to buy this. And I don't think there's going to be, like, you know, the shark isn't working with Jaws, kind of fake-looking
right.
shark, even though Jaws is my second favorite movie of all time. I'm down. Blake Lively's great. She was phenomenal in The Town. So I'm looking forward to, like, seeing more. Seeing what she can do. So
there was one other casting story, and then I'll let you dictate some of the show, Mark.
No, I love this.
That piqued my interest this week.
Please.
And that was Mr. Ivan Drago, Dolph Lundgren, stepping in as the substitute for Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop 2.
I can't. Did we know he was doing it? Dolph Lundgren was doing it? Or was it just like because they,
It's Paramount calling. I'm sorry, Paramount. I will call you back after the show.
Now,
in a half an hour.
Paramount of the, is this from the scoop?
Yeah.
Live on air, everybody. This is what happens. Jeff Snyder posts a story. Paramount calls him, what, 20 minutes later? That's how the news goes, folks. I'm like, now I want to go on and see who's covering it. Because, you know, hey, writers, schmozno.com, cover this. That's funny. So what were we talking about?
I'm sorry. Dolph Lundgren, Kindergarten Cop 2,
right.
Guys.
How could I forget Dolph Lundgren and Kindergarten Cop?
This is kind of great. It's a direct-to-video or direct-to-DVD. There's no video anymore. Direct-to-DVD sequel.
Sure.
You know, they're making it on the cheap. That the guy who did Jarhead 2, which I bet you didn't even know existed, is directing it.
Jarhead
Obviously,
2.
Arnold was not coming back. There was a Jarhead 2.
Yeah, okay. So
it's kind of great.
Is it canon? Is it a
canon? Not everything has a fucking canon, Mark. It's Kindergarten Cop 2.
Where's the shared universe canon with Kindergarten Cop 2? No, I didn't know, honestly, he just taking over for Schwarzenegger's role? That's what
No, no. I don't think that he's playing Detective Kimball.
Okay.
No. I think he's playing probably a different FBI agent who gets in. You know,
I have to go to kindergarten.
Yeah, he has
again
to look for like a missing chip that has like, you know, it's like the, you know, Mission Impossible knock list or whatever.
A missing chip that was implanted in a
kindergarten. And there's Albanian bad guys coming after him, and who knows?
Who's going to watch this? Are you?
You know what? I'm kind of curious. I just like little kids like saying funny shit to like tough cops.
Yeah, but making them... Dolph Lundgren, I mean, he doesn't have the charm that Schwarzenegger
has. No,
he
certainly does not.
The poor guy, they release that still, and like, it's like he looks 300 years old.
Listen,
and I'm like,
I didn't like the Expendables movies. Other than Rocky IV, I don't know, you know, if there's anything I can... linked in my mind to Dolph Lundgren. Although I did love him in this tiny little B movie called, I think it was called Pentathlon?
Oh, Jarhead 2, maybe. No.
Yeah, maybe it was Jarhead 2.
Well, okay. Yeah, Kindergarten Cop 2 is happening. Hopeful news break.
I just would have loved to have seen... Here's a hopeful news break. I would have loved to have seen... Who? Chris Hemsworth or Vin Diesel do that movie over at Universal? Because Universal had the rights.
Oh, so yeah. Was there talk... They were talking of rebooting it.
Was there? I don't know that there ever was any official talk, but it would have been great to see Chris Hemsworth or Vin Diesel.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Kindergarten Cop 2.
Everything Schwarzenegger's ever done should be remade by one of those two guys.
I know. Yeah.
Or The Rock.
Stay tuned, everybody, for breaking news about Kindergarten Cop 3, Back to School. That's right.
Right.
That's no. All right.
What do you want to talk about, Mark? I've hogged the time.
No, I like it when you hog the time. You know, obviously, with the big news on my side of the street was all the Star Wars talk. But I want to talk about Pixar real quick.
Okay.
Because you're going to D23.
Yes. I'm not going today, though. So that's our reporter, Beatrice Verhoeven. She will be there today. No relation.
Okay. I don't know what the schedule is like. Are they doing, do you know the schedule?
I think the animated films are today. We're only doing two panels. So like she's going today for the animation. I'm doing tomorrow morning live action.
Okay. Well, that makes sense because somebody, 1 hour ago over at Collider, I'm going to give a shout out to Matt Goldberg over at Collider. Toy Story 4 will be a love story, which we've heard, between Woody and Bo Peep. That's cool. Bo Peep wasn't in Part 3.
I want to see them get it on.
You're going to be seeing some toys-on-toys action.
Bo Peeping.
Oh, my God. It's like it was like me and my, you know, Ken doll and Barbie doll. I didn't have a Ken doll or a Barbie doll. Okay, anyways. The toys-on-toys. So, Bo Peep is coming back. What do you think of Toy Story 4? Period.
No, we don't. Toy Story 3 ended pretty well. It's disappointing to see Pixar keep going back to the same well. They've been doing a lot of sequels.
Especially Inside Out just comes out and just blows
everyone
away. It was so great. It's my favorite movie.
They have
the
enough
right
sequels,
now.
Like, and I don't mind doing twos. Like, okay, we're doing Finding Dory.
Sure.
Is there another two?
Monsters University.
They did Monsters, right.
And
I'd love to see The Incredibles, too.
Incredibles 2.
But I don't need to get into Fords.
Yeah, I...
That's direct-to-DVD stuff.
Yeah, for me, I was like, oh, my God, they're doing Toy Story 4. I love 1, 2, and 3, so there's part of me that's really excited. But now, when I hear that, I'm like, oh, and you bring in Inside Out being so good, and we have another original coming out in November with The Good Dinosaur... Yeah, they keep going to that well. Toy Story.
I'd rather see a Buzz Lightyear romance movie because he seems more like the charmer.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, we kind of got his story.
I know Tom Hanks is bigger than Tim Allen.
Yeah,
but.
That's true. But Buzz had his love story in part three, you could argue. There was a little subplot with him and Jesse. So
fair enough.
Well, Toy Story 4 is happening. We heard it's the love story. We know that Rashida Jones is writing it, right?
Ooh, okay.
Rashida Jones.
And her partner, Will McCormick.
Right? Yes, Will McCormick are writing it, which I find interesting. So there's a part of me that's
maybe
like,
we'll get some news out of D23 there. There's a part of you that what? I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No. There's a part of me that is so interested because of the talent behind it.
Mm-hmm.
The story doesn't really get me. Look, Bo Peep wasn't in part
three. Sure, there's more to it than, just that.
Yeah, so
I'm excited for what comes out of the Jungle Book.
Right.
And what kind of stuff we see out of that.
You'll probably get some Jungle Book. That's what I'm
thinking. I hope so. Yeah, I can't wait for that movie. It's going to be cool.
Now, it's not Favreau. Or is it Favreau? It is Favreau.
Johnny Fabs.
Okay, because Serkis is over at Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Okay. How is he going to have time to do this? He hasn't even started.
That's what I was going to say. I don't even know if he's started yet.
Yeah, I don't think he started. He's too busy mocapping Star Wars.
We'll see if that happens.
Well, that's interesting. So I think with D23 being this weekend, it's every 2 years. I think everybody is looking at Marvel and Star Wars. But you guys forget that there is The Jungle Book. There is Pixar. There is Disney slate. You got Alice in Wonderland 2 happening.
Right.
You got live-action Dumbo, live-action Winnie the Pooh, live-action freaking everything.
Oh, we're going to see some Beauty and the Beast stuff, too. That's going to be cool.
I'm interested in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
That's going to be an interesting. I saw one set pick where it's just looks straight out of the movie, which the animated movie, I should say.
Yeah, it is straight out of the movie. I should make that meme.
Did you see the Hateful Eight trailer this week?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
That's great. It's awesome.
Is it?
Yeah. You didn't like it? Okay, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, yeah. I don't want to get killed. Everybody's like, when Tarantino drops a trailer, everybody's like, that's now my most anticipated movie of the year. Everybody sucks. And this one, I'm like, it seemed totally, there's this weird tone for me going on with it.
Yeah, I thought it looked good. I'm nervous about this movie. I'm, a gigantic, gigantic Tarantino fan.
Me too.
Pulp Fiction's in my Twitter bio.
Yeah.
He may be my favorite filmmaker, but
He's in my top five.
First draft of the script, or what was purported to be the first draft, was kind of uninspired and unencouraging.
Sure.
I didn't...
As first draft goes.
Sure. I didn't love it. I'm sure the movie will be good. I don't know if it'll be an all-timer.
Mm-hmm.
He's really... talking up the 70mm, which mm-hmm. I'm sure is going to be gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But let's also keep in mind that 75% of this movie is indoors, is in one location.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be all gorgeous vistas, Wyoming vistas and things of that.
I mean, I like the idea that it's like a Reservoir Dogs meets Django. But I just...
And I haven't heard it described like that. That's interesting.
Yeah, because Reservoir Dogs takes place mostly in one location.
Sure.
And it kind of fits the same mold. You got the different people coming together that are all bounty hunters. The reason that it went weird for me was Jennifer Jason Leigh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She did that weird herself thing and mm-hmm. it just seemed like, is she mute? Is she crazy? I mean, I guess some people love that and want to see it. Maybe it's because I'm a little too biased that I wanted to see him go to another genre. He did the war movie with Inglourious Bastards,
right,
which I loved even more than Django Unchained.
Yeah, Bastards. I mean, Bastards is a masterpiece.
It's so amazing. So I kind of wanted to see him go away from the Western and do something else. And plus, it's like you're basically getting Django and they were bounty hunters.
He loves that horse-drawn stagecoach kind of thing.
Yeah.
This looks like a very kind of talky chamber piece.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it'll have, the requisite violence we've all come to know and love from a Tarantino movie.
Absolutely.
And the cast is super cool, and I'm eager to see where Channing Tatum fits into things.
Oh, that's right.
How
are they going to do... Okay, so, yeah, it just didn't... I thought it looked great. I was, excited, but I wasn't as excited as everybody is for this. Just because I don't know, the tone seemed a little off to me. I don't know. It's funny
see.
and
I know it's and I think that comes out on Christmas, man.
Yeah.
What a day that's going to be.
Christmas is
for a Jewish boy like me.
Yeah.
No family to hang out with.
Right?
I'm going to just be the movies. Oh, my God. So much coming out that day.
Yeah, because the Revenant comes out that
the
day,
The Revenant,
too.
Concussion with Will Smith, Joy right. with Jennifer Lawrence, Point Break, Daddy's Home with Mark Wahlberg. Like, the list goes on and on. Don't forget Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, yeah. I can't
with
wait.
With my girl Bella Thorne, right. who I interviewed this week.
Hey.
Nice. For this movie, Big Sky. You can check out that video interview on therap.com. But yeah, nice. It was a pleasure having her in the office.
Very cool. Well, I wanted to talk about something that it kind of got swept under the rug halfway through when the Star Wars covers came out or the Star Wars photos. The fallout from Josh Trank and the Fantastic Four, which absolutely bombed, as we knew it would, or as we were hearing. So then all of a sudden, everybody's reporting about Josh Trank and what went on behind the movie, yep. behind the scenes. Now we got Josh Trank lawyered up. I can.
That was interesting that he hired Marty Singer?
Yes. So I just wanted your two cents on that. What is going on? Because I read a Hollywood Reporter piece that kind of went into that he
The Hollywood Reporter has had a strange sort of obsession with this for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's about, what it's really about.
And I don't want to add more fuel to the fire. I just want to discuss it because
I've just noticed that they've had like the knives out.
Well, that piece was like, you know, there's lawyers now. And he did this. He did like allegedly doing some shit in the house he rented and with his wife, and then closing himself off behind the monitors, and maybe Fox was not giving him everything he wanted, but I just find it interesting.
It will be interesting to see what the fallout there is. I don't think that he's like blacklisted from the industry. I think he's too young and too talented. And
I hope I really hope he lands on his feet, because I don't like it that I feel like they're trying to pull him down. It's what it feels like is that there's so much hate going out there, and nobody knows.
Well, yeah, the press loves to build people up and knock them down.
Sure. That's my problem with it. We didn't cover any of
that. That is what we do.
Yeah. It's controversial.
The fall from grace, so to speak.
Yeah, it sells papers.
Sure.
It sells the papers. Or in this world, in this landscape.
Gets you clicks.
It gets you clicks, and it gets you impressions with your advertising, so...
Yeah, I've been actually surprised by the level of interest in the story, since it seems to be a pretty kind of like inside baseball Hollywood thing. But
I don't know enough about it. Yes,
not much surprises me anymore, I guess.
Yeah, yes, the Fantastic Four was I didn't like it.
I wish this thing was like movable and I could like
just let me talk to you,
like, pick it up like guys.
Yeah. How about League of Extraordinary Gentlemen to be female centric?
Ooh. I hadn't heard that. Is that a real rumor? Who has that?
We have breaking news.
Where, what?
15 hours ago.
15 hours.
Collider posted this. Says the producer John Davis at the TCAs. So
that League, is that a movie?
Yeah, they're.
Why would he's talking about the movie at TCAs?
Yeah, what these producers are doing.
Sure,
like,
they can't help themselves. So, League of Extraordinary Ladies, is that what it is?
Yeah, which look, I'm all for empowering the strong female characters, but the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, it's kind of in the source material. Like, great, throw in some really strong leads in there, but can you recreate? Let's see. Okay, so he says, just by going back to the roots and making it authentic to what the fan base was really excited about, it's female-centric, which I think is interesting. I love female characters, point-of-view characters in action movies. Look, I don't know how you're getting – well, he said female-centric, but the movie is – the guys were – I don't know.
I don't know either, man, because I don't really care about this project.
Yeah, it's an interesting – if you want a good comic, I mean, it's an Alan Moore comic.
That's what people say.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, well, it's – well,
pass.
I'm passing on it too, because like, why is it female-centric? I just don't buy that. So, okay. Great. what else is out there? What do you want to talk about? Mr. Snyder, what are you seeing this weekend?
Well, I don't know. I haven't made up my mind if I'm going to see Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
No.
I haven't heard good things.
I've heard mixed things. Like, I think McWeeny gave it like a B+.
Nice.
And folks, if you're not reading Drew McWeeny, who's been a guest on this show, please do. He wrote a great piece about like watching Jaws with his sons.
I was just going to bring that up.
It was really great. He's, when he gets a chance to do that kind of shit, it's always fantastic. So.
It was poetic.
Yeah, head on over to HitFix.
I'm serious. It was so great to hear it. It's all about his kids.
Yeah,
running around, jumping in pools, 10 pools before they watch Jaws, and then they're solid gold
like
reactions.
That kind of criticism and filtering movie discussion, you know, through the lens of being a parent.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited. You know,
Drew is obviously one of our more exceptional film writers in this community.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, check that out. But so he gave it like a B+, I think, and I think, you know, he liked the kind of like the breezy tone. Neither of these actors really do much for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more interested in like Vikander and Elizabeth Debicki, who are in it.
Okay.
I don't know. I you know, maybe I'll see it. Maybe I'll wait for a DVD.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. Oh, are you getting another one?
That's my brother.
Oh, okay.
fuck that kid.
I love it. So I put out there on the live chat, everyone, that we're kind of going by the hip here or swinging by. What?
Last night I watched two horror movies. I stayed up late.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to hear this. Yeah.
I watched Unfriended.
Right.
Which, you know, and takes place entirely on a computer screen.
Okay.
And it was interesting. Like, it actually was pretty relevant
giving, yeah.
Given all like the cyberbullying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it sort of tried to tell you that your past deeds will follow you, especially, you know, especially on social media, the pictures that you take, the videos that you take,
the tweets that you send,
the shit that you talk.
Yep.
So
it's all
that was
there.
Interesting. And then the other one I watched was The Final Girl with Abigail Breslin.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, it's a little weird, but she's like been trained to become like this brutal assassin.
Yeah.
Since she was like a little girl.
Okay.
And she grows up and she's told to like dispatch four teenage boys who like hunt girls in the woods.
Yeah.
They bring them out to the woods and then let them run and they hunt them. So Abigail Breslin sort of takes the bait and then turns the tables.
Yeah. That's, it reminds me of a book I read, back in junior high. It was like The Deadliest Game or something. It was like
Hunter.
Yeah. You know,
the Zodiac's favorite book.
Yeah, that's right. So, it kind of reminds me of that. And I love Abigail Breslin. So this is like,
she looks cute in it too. Wes Bentley's actually kind of cool in it.
Oh, is he one of the guys?
No. He's the trainer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he looks like something out of Hitman, which comes out next weekend. I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
But no, I'd say the two, okay, wait. It was Alexander Ludwig from The Hunger Games and, Lone Survivor. He's like the really young guy who gives like the whole, who has to recite that like military, the SEAL speech or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, it's like the mantra, I guess.
Right, exactly. So he was one of the kids. Cameron Bright was one of the kids. He's the one in Birth. The Nicole Kidman movie, The Little Boy.
Oh, yeah.
All grown up.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Well, I just want to see it from the concept. I mean, it just sounds great.
Yeah, it's an interesting... Listen, it's a low-budget movie. Tyler Shields shot it. Okay. He's like a famous photographer. I don't know. You know, I thought that both were worth a rental.
Just real quick, some breaking news.
Oh, shit.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, the main character is female.
Okay.
So they
change one character.
Thank you, Roar Machine, Mark Cassidy on Twitter. He gave me the heads up. I don't remember the source material that well. I was just going off of the movie, so that's my bad. Because it was Sean Connery, which one of my favorite stories about Sean Connery is that he turned down Gandalf, turned down Morpheus, and you know, obviously they go off to be crazy successful. So when League of Extraordinary Gentlemen comes around, he's like, oh, I better take this. I don't want to miss my boat. And then it sinks. It's so bad. So thanks, Roar Machine. Female-centric lead character, female, great. It felt like to me, just reading that news just from a headline perspective, seems like they're trying to jump on a bandwagon that Paul Feig started with Ghostbusters, my two cents. So what do we want to close with? We got
5 minutes left.
The last of this, I throw out there on the live chat on YouTube, any news from The Stand? People are throwing out some comments here, what they want to say. Julian Jacobs.
I haven't checked into that in a while.
Yeah.
Let me circle back on that one.
Okay. He's going to circle back. What do you guys think about Batman v Superman getting a standing ovation? Says Jasmine Crisillo. That's a rumor, and I think it's could my two cents easily planted by some people because it was like the suits.
Listen, I talked to a Warner Brothers executive who said he had seen it and that, you know, it came out great and they're really happy with it. I don't know if it got a standing ovation or not. I'd be surprised that a room full of executives would stand and clap. Like,
yeah,
then,
yeah. I mean,
but it, whatever.
If they're stockholders and they're like realizing they've got a hit, I mean, you know,
did they not know? Or was it, this is such a surprise?
I know. Oh my God, people are going to like Batman v Superman. So the rumor goes that there was the standing ovation with some footage from Batman v Superman, and that Batman or Ben Affleck was so good that they scooped him up. Gave him a 3-picture deal to direct Batman, 3 movies, a trilogy, blah, 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 blah.
I don't know if I'd take that to the bank.
I wouldn't take it to the bank, but what added the fuel to the fire was him pushing some of his projects back.
Sure.
So, yeah. Have you heard anything?
Well, he's going to do like one movie. He's going to do one.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I, you know, these are all rumors and speculation.
It is, you know, I forget who it was, but someone was talking about how it is a little depressing with Affleck, like kind of wholeheartedly embracing the comic book stuff. I think he's going to be playing Batman in 7 movies.
Yeah,
is that right?
If we talk three Batman movies,
Justice League,
Justice League 2,
yeah,
Suicide Squad.
I don't know if
we'll
see him in that much.
Yeah,
this guy directed Argo and had a chance to direct Hollywood classics.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I don't know if he'll tire eventually of wearing the cowl.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a legit and. We didn't really get to talk about it, so maybe we want to tease it for next week, but it's the spoiler culture of, like, because...
Yeah, there's a good article on IndieWire. I would just, you know, ask that people read that, because I do think it's getting out of hand and that every little piece is getting, you know, picked over. And it's like, I get some of us, you know, we got to find a way to put food on the table.
Yeah.
And if, you know, that's your talent and that's your strength, more power to you.
Yeah.
Finding out some of that stuff, but...
No, it was something interesting that we talked about off air, and I just opened a huge can of worms with 2 minutes left in the show. But, you know, Luke Skywalker picture was leaked online, and I'm the guy that didn't want to see it. I felt like there's a reason why Luke isn't being presented in any of the material, the teasers and the posters and everything. We've gotten Han, you know, and that's like, in my opinion, smart, because on the business side of things, it's Harrison Ford. He's maybe the biggest name in that movie. So, of course, they're going to show some Han. And he might have more nostalgia and more fans out there. Obviously, he's getting his own young Han Solo movie. But to get that spoiler that just popped in my feed, like literally people were like, look! And it's weird. I didn't want to see it. I just was like, and then I saw it and it was awesome and he looks so good, but
we don't have a choice anymore of what we can see and what we can't.
Yeah, so Jeff brings up a really great an article on IndieWire.
Yeah, right? Check it out. I think Kevin Yeagernoff wrote it on the playlist.
Yeah,
and
because the spoiler culture is interesting. That's maybe something we'll talk about next week, but
maybe if we have a guest.
Yeah, if we could maybe bring in somebody that has something to say about it.
In the meantime, contemplate all the fun that we're going to have at D23, that I'm going to have at D23 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Maybe Ronda Rousey will come out as Captain Marvel.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be funny?
No, yeah, it would be funny.
It would be
something terrible choice.
Yeah, Marvel wouldn't go there. Yeah, and to one of my Twitter followers who tweeted me with Jessica Chastain is Miss Marvel. And brought up the blonde hair that she sported in a movie.
Ooh.
Great call. Yeah, I wish I... Well, maybe I can, but who knows?
All right. Well, go see Straight Outta Compton this weekend, folks.
All right, guys. So this has been Meet the Movie Press on Friday, and this is another great show. Thanks for tuning in on the live chat here. Go ahead and follow us at Riley Around and at The In Snyder. And please rate and
comment, subscribe.
Yeah, do
all that good stuff.
Please, it keeps the lights on here. And go ahead and tweet us all you want and what you want to talk about for next week's show.
Yeah, I'll look into shit.
Yeah, Jeff's dropping scoops over here and getting calls from Paramount in the process. So that's what we do here. I love it. So we'll see you next week, guys. And as always, visit schmozno.com and, of course, The Wrap.
TheWrap.com.
Yes, guys, and we will see you next week. Thanks for tuning in, as always.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.